All good things must come to an end, including spooky season. But we are ending this one with a bang. In the mirror, with a sexy vampire who doesn't have a reflection. We're recapping Blood Moon by Jillian Graves. It's a short little novella full of business misunderstandings, spelled cocktails, badass witches, and strange creatures. Spoilers ahead. Hi, Meg.
Hi, Liz.
So when you heard that there was a witch and vampire romance coming out, mm-hmm. what were your immediate thoughts?
In there. Gimme.
Yeah, me too. And then you find out that it is a witchy bartender who is 6 feet tall and plus size and has pink hair and tattoos, and it's like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So something out of the ordinary that I would like to do, I want to say my fan cast for Hazel off the top.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Gwendolyn Christie.
Oh,
is the only person who came to mind.
That's really good.
Yeah, like no one else came to mind.
No, I really wasn't picturing anyone when mm-hmm. I was reading this. And I think that partially that's because I love the cover art and like
it's
the step back
so
art.
Ooh, I didn't see the step back.
Well, I assume that's what it was when I was flipping through on the ebook. Because on the cover, the title is covering part of the image. And so then you can see the whole thing. But yeah, the cover art was so good. So that's kind of just what I was thinking of. But and I loved the pink hair, obviously. I was most mm-hmm. impressed by the fact that the curtains matched the drapes.
I'm assuming that was made magically, because that's a
that's
very
bleach down there
thing
was
to do. But yeah, I love the commitment.
Yeah, for sure.
The cover illustrator was Frankie at Frankenstein SM2. And I really like the cover of Jillian Graves's debut novel, Titan. I mean, that one got a lot of people interested right away.
Let me take a look. Oh, so the series is Romancing His Stone.
Romancing His Stone.
Yeah.
And
so there's two of those books out, right? And then this novella falls in between those.
Titan is out. Rook comes out next year. And Blood Moon is in the same universe with the same magical creatures known as the Strange. Mm-hmm. It must be like in the same city.
Yeah.
But in Los Angeles. But this one is about the coven mm-hmm. that is in the city versus the gargoyles who are looking for an artifact in Titan. And Titan is a sugar baby, daddy dom gargoyle romance
mm-hmm.
with really interesting power dynamics. And that's what I noticed about this book and really liked, that it played with power dynamics in a really interesting way.
Yeah. So I have not read Titan.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't familiar with like the world that it had mm-hmm. created. And so that's a pretty tall order in a novella to like create this world in which there are the Strange and try to establish what creatures are real in it and like what their relationships are and what their powers are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a lot to get done.
Yeah,
it novella was. Plus to tell a story of a couple that I don't know if Hazel was introduced in Titan or not.
I believe that a witch was introduced in Titan, but it might have been Drew. Not sure. I'm not positive that it was Hazel.
Okay.
But the witches were mentioned, at least.
Okay.
And Titan obviously gets name dropped in this one, but
yes.
I don't think that you have to read Titan to read this one. This one is 114 pages, so it's a pretty good entry point.
Mm-hmm.
Titan does build a lot of lore, but the lore doesn't really come into play in this one because
okay.
it's such a encapsulated story.
Yeah. Should we jump into the recap?
Let's jump into the recap.
Okay, so we have Hazel, who is a long-standing member of the coven that is led by Drew. They establish that witches can be born from, I'm just going to say muggles, can be born from muggles, and then, like, upon sort of, like, puberty or late teens is when you kind of, like, come into your powers, and so it's sort of like a found family situation.
Yeah.
And Hazel runs this bar called the Witch Hazel. Amazing. Would love to go. And
that
it's
great.
Protected by magic to help sort of put a glamour over any of the strange who come there. So it's like a safe place for them to come and hang out and not be noticed by humans. And even though humans can come into the establishment as well. And it's before it was hers. It was still in strange hands as another establishment. So it's like this piece of property has been a beacon for the strange for generations.
And she wouldn't have been able to buy it and start this bar if she hadn't had loans from members of the coven. So she's been very supported by her community in bringing this bar to life, but it's also so much work and very overwhelming, and any changes she'd like to make or expansions seem impossible because it feels like it's just her.
Yeah. And not only that, but now she's encountering all these problems with the club that just moved in across the street. Called Black Door. And they are pretty aggressively seeming to try to steal her customers, making a dent in her business and causing even more stress than the bar usually puts on her. So she goes over to Drew's house, and she has this sort of like regularly scheduled mixer for different strange to come and hang out,
which can include gargoyles, orcs, witches, vampires,
shifters,
thank you.
And she is coming off of a stressful day. There was like her door was like covered in flyers for the Black Door, and they've been parking this stupid van out front and like blocking the view from the street,
blocking her parking. So
yeah, so she's like, okay, I'm going to just blow off some steam. TBH, I need to get laid. So let's make that happen. And Drew's like, okay, your energy is like really not good right now. Like, we need to fix this. Here, I made this topical potion for you. It's like a shampoo or a soap or something. And it's party juice. She's like, ooh, I feel sexy.
And previously, I think that Drew described her aura as like pond scum green. So she gives her the spell oil. She's like, I called it party in a bottle. I couldn't think of anything better. She tells her what the magical properties are. And she's like, I would recommend that you use it as a shampoo.
And so she just hops on in the shower there. And she's like, wow.
Yeah.
I feel great.
Yeah. And Drew, another thing about Drew is like, she is a real one. She's like, okay, yeah, you want a shifter to be brought to you. Okay. Like, just go take a shower, and I'm going to lay out a cute dress that my very tall ex left behind. And the moment of sadness for Drew. Oh, and wow. You just go and you like wash the day right out of your hair.
And she does, and she's just really, really enjoying herself when someone walks into the bathroom, because apparently it's like a first floor bathroom situation. So like, there's an entrance from the guest room and then an entrance from the hallway. So
those should be illegal.
Yeah.
Anytime that there's a situation like that, so much anxiety.
Yeah, if there are like multiple doors, I'm always worried one of them isn't going to be locked, which is what happened here.
Yeah.
And so she's just soaping herself up and like moaning with the enjoyment of it. And he's like, that good, huh? And she's like, what now? Who's in here?
And she kind of stupidly is like, Drew? Like, maybe the potion has messed with her and she's hallucinating.
But indeed, it is not Drew. It is the hunky, hunky vampire goth of her teenage dreams named Vlad.
Vlad. Classic vampire name.
Yeah, he's got like a slight, you know, Eastern European accent. And they just kind of have a little bit of repartee. And, you know, the sparks are flying between them. And she's like, you know what? This wasn't the shifter that I was thinking of, but this will do.
And she puts her titties on the glass.
Yes. And
so this is what she's working with. And he's like, okay, yeah.
He's like, yeah, okay, I'm also into this. And they're like, well, the other door to this bathroom that you didn't come in, like, leads to a guest room. So you want to, like, just hop on over there into bed together? And they're both like, yeah, I think we better.
Yeah.
I think we ought to.
Good idea.
And so, yeah, they do.
Let's mention Chekhov's mirror, because mentions that he doesn't have a reflection in the mirror because he's a vampire. Mm-hmm. Put a pin in that for later.
Lock that up. So they have a very effective and steamy encounter. And I think he's like vibing on it. And she's like, okay, cool. Thanks for this. You go out first and then I'll go out next so that it's not obvious. Like kind of just back to business, would you say?
Yeah, back to business. And, you know, they don't want to get like hoots and hollers from all the strange out there.
Right. So she ends up coming back out to the party, and I think that she is giving off like a freshly fucked vibe.
Yeah.
And Drew's like, oh, I've got to introduce you to this new person here tonight. He just got into town and he is connected to the Black Door. And so maybe we can just like go to the source, nip this in the bud. Let me introduce you. And she's like, oh, no, no, I don't want to. I'm fucked up on party potion right now. And it's Vlad.
It's so Vlad.
They're like shaking hands. Like, how do you do, fellow business person? Just bumped uglies with me.
So Vlad did get a little taste of her blood, which gives him apparently like 3 days worth of mind reading power. So he can hear every dirty thought and every like, oh shit, this is my competition thought. So she leaves for a bar emergency. And she is furious at herself. And she's like, well, you know, I had great sex with this guy who is ruining my business. So he tries to explain that the things that have been happening, he wasn't aware of, because when she makes a comment about the harassing marketing, he has no idea what she's talking about.
Right.
So he does try to work with her to put it to a stop, but he has investors who are strange. So like an older vampire is his boss, essentially. And that boss has prevented him from implementing any of his ideas because he would actually prefer to have a club a lot more like Hazel's instead of a cold, dark, metallic, very ultra hip place.
It's like what I would picture a vampire nightclub to me. Like, although I don't know if the mirrors would be as prominently featured, but you get it.
Yeah, it's definitely Eric Northman's club in True Blood vibes.
So, she decides that after having figured out who he is, she's like, wait, we had a bat fly through the bar a couple days ago and like scare my customers. It was definitely that fucking vampire guy. So fuck that. I'm going to slip on over to the club, and I'm gonna put a little spell on this mirror that's covering the whole ceiling of the dance floor so that I can also surveil whenever I wish. So there.
Yeah. And he catches her in the act of doing this.
Because he can still read her thoughts.
Yeah. So she was close enough to be within range. Proximity. Yeah. After she realizes this, she works toward the back of the bar for a few days. So she's out of mind reading range. But he's like, what are you doing? She's like, nothing. What are you doing? He's like, you want to come to my office and talk about this? And she's like, no. Okay. So they go and they immediately have to rip each other's clothes off. And he, because he can read her mind, he gets that she's kind of into the idea of maybe getting caught. Mm-hmm. And he turns on the security camera footage to show what's going on directly outside his door.
Mm-hmm.
So that she can get the sensation that, like, at any point any of these people could overhear them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very hot until the point that he does get a knock on the door from one of his employees saying, like, Charles won't stop calling, he's literally calling right now. Mm-hmm. He wants to talk to you immediately. And also, like, the liquor guy is here and there's a problem with the number of cases that were ordered, and he's like, just, like, sit him down with a drink and I'll be right there. He, and we find out very quickly that his efforts to get Charles to call his minions off and stop harassing Hazel's bar, they go completely ignored, and the harassment is escalated to the point that Hazel actually gets hurt because this orc and the shifter, was it an orc and a shifter? Might have been a vampire and a shifter.
Vampire and shifter.
Got into it with one of her orc patrons because they were, like, blocking the entrance and handing out flyers. And this patron is like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, get away from Hazel's bar. And they get into it, and Hazel tries to break it up, and she gets some spell powder to
Stun them.
To stun them. Mm-hmm. And that's when Vlad shows up. And she, of course, is like, oh, you sent your goons over here. And he had no idea. I think that he either saw the commotion, or she wasn't back within mind reading range because it's been enough days.
Right.
So he shows up and he picks up the goons and he sees her spell powder and he pushes the goons toward it and he, like, backs away.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I really loved is that later Hazel asks, why did you decide to push them into the powder when you didn't know what that powder was going to do? He was like,
she's like, you could have killed them. You didn't know.
Yeah. He's like, because I know you, and I know that whatever it was you were going to do was going to be proportional to what they deserve. So I trusted you.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of really great sex in this book. I think that the next notable thing is the mirror scene. Which, when I heard there was a big mirror scene in this book, and then the second I found out he had no reflection, I knew what was going to happen.
So I don't know if this is later that night, like after they both closed down their businesses, but he's like, hey, you want to come over? Like, they exchange numbers, I think, and he's like, that way you can let me know if something like this is happening again. Like, tell me directly. Mm-hmm. And then... yeah, he's like, hey, you want to come over after you close?
Yeah.
And so they're, like, hanging out in the empty club and making out or whatever. And he, like, starts to lower her onto the floor. And she's like, ew. Like, don't worry. It's clean.
It's clean thoroughly, especially tonight.
Yeah.
Which like, makes her hot.
I would also have that same reaction of, like,
as you even should.
Even if he said it was clean, I'd be like, ooh, I don't know. But they proceed to engage in some mirror play on the floor of the dance floor of the club, because, as Liz mentioned, he very importantly does not have a reflection. So Hazel looks like she's having a good time by herself.
Just such a great visual. Like, I would love to see that on an HBO show. Yeah. That's amazing. And she's so into it, like, of course.
Yeah. And at this time, she offers to let him drink some of her blood again.
Mm-hmm.
So they have that sort of mind link in a way.
Note for anyone who is concerned that there's going to be like a secret baby plot twist in this, for members of the Strange, there are different categories of Strange. You cannot get each other pregnant. You actually have to take extra measures to try to make that happen.
Yeah, right.
The next thing that's notable is when Charles shows up on Halloween.
Right. Okay. So they are both super busy because it's like a big night of the year for going out and partying, and especially at the Witch Hazel. So, and she, I don't know, think we've mentioned, she's like a potions master, and her medium is beverages, things that you can consume. So she serves spelled cocktails and that kind of thing in her bar. And they have plans to get together that evening after they close. And Vlad has put some of his own stamp onto the club for that evening, like gone against his investor group's
wishes and his nepotism bartender hire that he wants to replace the actual good bartender.
Right. So he has like a live band that's all like Strange members and different kind of decor for the evening. And so Charles shows up. He's given like a heads up that he's going to be there. But he's basically there to strong arm him into falling in line so that then maybe he can have the type of space that he kind of was originally promised he would have. And then he makes like a dig at Hazel, like implying that they're going to run her out of business very intentionally and then allow Vlad to have that space to be his and his supper club. And Vlad is triggered and starts to try to fight this vampire. And that's pretty much spells the end of his job. And Hazel actually pays witness to this because she happens to be looking into her crystal ball through the spelled mirror to see what's going on.
Which I guess also has an audio component and like zooms in on him.
Yeah. This is advanced. Okay.
This is advanced witchery.
So after Charles leaves and he fucks off, he's like, bat! And he turns into a bat and he flies up to Hazel's little office that's on the top floor of her bar. And he's like really worried that she will have seen, but like maybe misinterpreted the situation and not believe him that he's like on her side. And but she does. She's like, I know, like you tried to fight that man.
Initially, it seems like she maybe thinks that he betrayed her. She's like, well, that was quite a show with her like corset and her titties up to her chin and her witch hat. But she's getting ready along with the other witches in the coven for the Blood Moon ritual. And it seems like each one of them is asking for something different from the ritual. And one of the things that she was going to do was a protection charm. And now having Vlad's blessing, she's going to up the stakes and she's going to make hex water. Which the recipe that she uses does sound like a legit thing that someone would make. Like we see iron nails used in witchcraft as protection magic, and she's putting the intention into this that she that it's going to be nine times what they put out. So like if they don't mess with her business, nothing's going to happen, but if they do try to mess with her business, it's going to work out extremely badly for them. And we mentioned Drew. Drew says that she wants to attract love. So I'm sure Drew is going to get a book. I wonder if her book is Rook's book. Because didn't she mention like hooking up with Rook at some point? Or hooking up with one of the gargoyles?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I might be wrong, and I would have to go back to Titan and see if Drew was the one, the witch who showed up in that one. Because it's been, I read Titan, like, when it came out, so it's been a little bit.
Yeah, I don't see any details on Rook on Goodreads.
Yeah.
That I couldn't say. But it is, yeah, it's Rook, a primal gargoyle romance. Mm. Where the other one was titled Daddy Dom, mm-hmm. gargoyle romance.
So Rook's like a different kind of vibe and architect, which I'm excited about. I like when, with these creature feature kind of books, like Ice Planet Barbarians, you have to really like make them distinct.
Mm-hmm.
Or else it's just like interchangeable. Like, this is the monster. This is the monster's new girl.
Mm-hmm.
So she makes the hex water. And oh, where I was going with that was Violet. Violet is the youngest witch, and she is trying to find her affinity.
Mm-hmm.
And I really thought that we were going to get it. Like, I wanted to know what it was.
Yeah.
So please, more on Violet. Thank you very much. They go, they throw the hex water at the black door, and
it's kind of anticlimactic. He's like, is that it? And she's like, that's yep. it. I was and like, oh, yeah, okay.
And like the glass is just going to get written off. It was like drunk people. It's clear, so it's not leaving any water markings, any like mm-hmm. slime debris. And so he's out of a job, and she has the second floor that he's been saying, oh, you should expand this. You could do like a show area over here, like a music venue. You could do this, you could do that. And she's like, with what time, with what staff, with what money?
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward to 6 months later when they're together, and now it seems that they're co-owners of the bar, and they have expanded into that upstairs space. I don't think they've opened yet, but they're ready to. And he shows her a special room just for her.
Yeah. Which I will not be describing.
I was trying to get, okay. It's I think it's a two-way mirror situation so that they can do the voyeur play that she likes so much.
Yes.
You know, and there's whips and chains, handcuffs, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's kind of like a speakeasy sort of vibe.
Yeah.
I would say.
Have you ever been to a speakeasy themed place?
I've been to a speakeasy, but it wasn't like Prohibition themed or anything like that.
Yeah, no, I've been to one. It wasn't that, but you did have a password to get in.
Mm.
Yeah. And the black door has shut down. They had a mysterious fire, and the fire department has never seen anything like it because it completely like incinerated everything and no one got hurt, and it didn't manage to affect any of the neighboring businesses. And Charles yeah. wisely got spooked by this, and he's like, I'm just gonna fuck off to another area of the city mm-hmm. to like go somewhere that the coven members don't have businesses nearby, and just mm-hmm. open something over there.
Yep. Good call on his part.
Yeah, fitting in. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
Yeah. So is that pretty much where it wraps up?
Yep, that's okay. It. So that's it. This was 114 pages of like yummy, lascivious, witchy vampire content.
Yeah, I would say it's like, it's pretty spicy.
Yeah. Jillian Graves does a good sex scene, and she's not afraid of like playing with taboos. Like she's like, the sugar baby and daddy thing in Titan was so prevalent. Mm. And their power dynamic, like she was definitely a brat mm-hmm. in Titan, and I like seeing a version of that in this one with the mind reading, because it kind of is like, when you're dating someone, when you're first getting to know them, you wish that you could read their mind, and their connection is such that it turns out that they don't need to mm-hmm. he doesn't need to read her mind, because she's so authentic, and he can just tell things about her, and she doesn't need to be able to read his mind, which she can't, because he'll just tell her everything mm-hmm. that's on his mind. And the way that things are so unbalanced in the beginning, like professionally and in the relationship, and then it shifts to more of an equal partnership was really interesting.
Yeah. Do we want to do categories or?
I would say if you have a fan cast, we should do that. Okay. So I'll mention my other fan cast. I have a book to mention that's on theme. And I was thinking that for the tarot reading, we could like spur of the moment come up with a cocktail based on whatever card we pull.
Oh, I have one.
Ooh, what are you drinking?
So this will be my recipe.
Okay, perfect. You want me to
wait until that point?
Yeah, I mean, this can be a short episode. We can just like go there, like do fan cast. Do you have standout characters or a bookmark scene?
Yeah, I'm interested in Violet. Because we get like a fair amount of dialogue and pages devoted to what's going on with her. So I think we're meant to be invested in what's going on with her. She's really funny with how she's like, oh, you just had sex.
It seems
you
like
had sex again.
It suggests that her affinity has something to do with reading emotions or auras, but that's not quite it. So
yeah. So there's a mystery there. And I enjoyed the first, like the bathroom scene with them, because it's like they have this sort of immediate connection and chemistry with each other, but they're like teasing each other kind of. And I know it's like there's a really she has a like a trigger warning, a content warning at the beginning that mentions that there's like sex under the influence and that kind of thing, in case that's like upsetting for someone. Yeah. But in the context of the story, it was just like kind of fun and playful. And he ends up drinking her blood, like she offers it to him, and so then he's also on the party juice.
Yeah.
And like they're both feeling really good.
Yeah. And it does help going into it that like we know like I want to have a one night stand tonight and that's my goal. And then he shows up and she's like, you'll do.
That dog will hunt.
Yeah.
So yeah. What about you?
For me, I also love Violet, but I'm excited to hopefully get a book for Drew. Her aura reading is interesting, and it seems like all the witches like can do all the things, like they all make potions and they all do spell work, but have a thing that they're specifically really good at. The aura reading would be very interesting in a romance.
How so?
Because it would be kind of like the mind reading, and like she would be noticing it. It would be great in a romance where like the heroine doesn't know that the guy is madly in love with her, and she's like noticing the shifts in the aura and is like, what's that about? That couldn't be about me. That huge like boner jumping out of the pants couldn't be because of me. So I could see that happening. And then my bookmark scene is the mirror scene, because I'd never read anything like that. So
yeah, it's a good one.
And then for fan cast, I already said Gwendolyn Christie for Hazel. And as soon as they said that Vlad was Romanian, my mind went to Sebastian Stan.
Of course.
With the Winter Soldier hair. So it's Sebastian Stan.
The White Wolf, as it were.
The White Wolf. I don't think he's going to show up in Wakanda Forever, but I would really love it if he did. Oh, there's unrelated. There's the sound on Twitter, and I don't know what the context of the original is. I've seen the original. It looks like it's maybe sporty, like someone's giving a pep talk to a sports team, but I don't know the context. And the guys say, you are freaking African-Americans and Mark, and I'm rocking with Mark because Mark is rocking with me in the camera when he says, and Mark pans to the one white guy in the room. So as soon as I saw the promo photos for Wakanda Forever on Twitter, and it was all like, it was Shuri and Okoye and Namor and M'Baku, and then Everett Ross, is that his name? The dude from Sherlock, and Everett Ross is the character's name, I think. Okay. He's the dude from Sherlock and from The Hobbit.
Oh, Martin Freeman.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. and then he's
so the he's Mark.
One. He's Mark, and I edited that. I did a screen grab going through Twitter, and this never happens where a sound like perfectly lines up the first time when I put a video with it. So
it was
very much like "and Mark" energy. So you have a recipe.
Yeah. Well, it felt very potion-y. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing Sober October with like a notable exception being a friend's wedding that I just mm-hmm. went to. But I'm drinking this. It is based on a recipe from Bon Appetit called the Spiced Blood Orange Shrub.
Ooh.
And the shrub feels very witch's brew-y. Mm-hmm. So what you do is you take the peels of 4 oranges and 1 lemon.
Mm-hmm.
You put that in a pot with like a half cup of sugar, a cup of water. I put ginger in there. I put cinnamon stick in there. I put cloves. I put star anise. I put a bay leaf, some black peppercorns. And you just simmer that for a bit.
If you didn't have the sugar, that would be a simmer pot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very nice.
So while that's stunning. Hanging out and stunning, while that's hanging out, you're going to juice the citrus fruit that you just peeled. You're going to put a little splash of apple cider vinegar in there. And then once you're done steeping, you'll strain it in there and shake it all up. So that's like a great sort of concentrate that then you can put over ice with club soda. If you wanted to add alcohol, you could.
Mm-hmm.
I also made a pomegranate molasses, which basically I just got pomegranate juice and reduced it down until it was molasses. So that's all mixed in. And it doesn't translate to the screen very well, but it looks very pumpkin spicy.
Even oh, on the screen, it looks more like gingery.
Yeah. It's very tasty, and I like it because it's like a little bit savory, and you still get like a little bit of astringency because of that mm-hmm. apple cider vinegar. So it kind of scratched that itch for me.
Yeah.
Of wanting a little burn from the booze that wasn't there. That sounds
so good.
Ugh. Yeah. I don't know. It felt kind of potion-y, and it felt very fall appropriate. Yeah, very much so. So, yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, like the simmer pot is like an easy witchy thing that you can do for autumn, and people can come to your house and be like, oh, what are you doing? It's like, oh, it's just like potpourri. My house smell nice. It's just
some light witchcraft.
Yeah. It's to get the negative energies out of my house. So if suddenly you want to leave, maybe it's working.
It really did make the house smell delicious. Mm-hmm. And I think it would also be good, you know, if you left out the vinegar, if that's not for you, I think it would be good mm-hmm. to add in with like black tea or something like that. So
yeah, black tea would work too. Yeah, for sure. So I have a book that I think is very on theme, and I don't own this book, but I have flipped through it on Scribd, and I like a previous book by this author. It's by Amy Blackthorne, and it's Blackthorn's Botanical Brews, Herbal Potions, Magical Teas, and Spirited Libations. So it talks about individual spirits and kind of their magical and medicinal correspondences, how you can add magic to daily activities, things that you should have in the bar, syrups you can make, and just basically turning your bar into a witch's potion den.
Cool.
So, and I think that she also has some mocktail stuff in there, but it's been a while since I looked at it, so I could be wrong. So, you can check out if that is true. And that then
sounds fun.
I don't know how this is going to go, but I thought that for tarot today, we could pull a tarot card and come up with a cocktail based on it.
Okay.
So just like use it as a prompt.
Sure.
For a cocktail. And I'm using the Modern Witch deck because that feels like Hazel.
Yeah, very appropriate. Because I feel like a lot of the characters on those cards have like colorful hair and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And the Modern Witch deck is very popular. I would say that if you are getting into tarot and you want to be able to use the Rider-Waite energy, Rider-Waite imagery that is in most all guidebooks, like tarot beginner books, this is a great one because it lines up perfectly and it's just more femme and diverse. But this deck is so thick, the cardstock makes it really hard to shuffle. And I don't like, my tarot cards look like I don't even use them because I don't like to do a riffle shuffle. I'm not a good shuffler and I don't like bending them, and I like them to stay intact. So this one is like absolutely like a unit of a deck. Like, it is thick in the hands because of how thick the cardstock is. So that one kind of popped up a little bit. So let's do that one. Ooh, okay. So the card that we got is the Two of Swords, which is the card of like indecision and not wanting to make a move, of feeling defensive. The way that the Modern Witch Guide describes it is, you've raised your defenses, steeled yourself against opposition, and blindfolded yourself. By refusing to budge, you've blinded yourself to the truth of a difficult situation. Maybe you've shut off your emotions as a defense mechanism, or you're refusing to see things logically. Perhaps you are stuck in analysis paralysis. Either way, you're not dealing with the problem honestly. Take off the blindfold and confront the issue.
So what that makes me think of as far as like being a little bit indecisive and going a couple of different ways, it reminds me of getting an absinthe flight at a bar once. I could not decide which cocktail I wanted, and I didn't really know much about absinthe. So I got a flight of like the top recommended ones so I could try them and see what was up. And it came with like ice water and like sugar water and a few different things so you could kind of play around and try different things out for someone like me who like wants to try it all and doesn't really want to decide.
That also works because if this card represents not wanting to see things and not wanting to make a move, absinthe has all these associations with being kind of a psychedelic liqueur, which the absinthe that I've had, I have not experienced any effects other than what happens normally with alcohol. But if you look at the historical associations, like if you're refusing to look at things from any other perspective than the one you're at, absinthe-based cocktails or an absinthe flight could open your mind a little bit. More options. Now, when I see this, I think of the water in the background and the defensive posture and the blindfold make me think of something that needs to snap you out of this. So, like, what would be something like maybe salty or beachy that like has a punch? Are there any salty cocktails?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of a non-alcoholic.
Yeah, that would be great.
Which a fire tonic, which is also kind of witchy. Are you familiar?
Like fire cider?
Yeah, like fire cider.
Yeah, love that stuff. I mean, I make like a version of it that is like an instant one, not a...
I've done like a fermenty sort of one before, and that stuff is no joke. It's hot. And I take it like a shot when I have it, and it's definitely like a clears out your sinuses, wake up call, slap in the face type thing. So that could work.
Yeah. I'm looking at an opentable.com blog article. The first one that comes up in salty cocktails is the Funky Chicken at Arbella in Chicago. It's sweet, salty, spicy, and sour. It's made with rye, lemon puree, and beer. And the rim is rimmed with tahine, which is delicious, lime juice, and sea salt. And then another one that looks good is the PC goes in at Tanuki in Miami Beach. It's salted banana puree based with rum, chrysanthemum tea, shoshu, and freshly squeezed lime juice. That feels like it would pucker you into a new perspective. So I think that those things would help you snap out of it and make a decision.
I like it.
Maybe loosen your inhibitions a little bit. Any final things?
So this episode is the final one before to cap off spooky season.
The best season.
The best season.
Much longer than it is.
I agree. But we do have the holidays and all the content that brings to look forward to.
So Meg's favorite season.
It's not that I think it's like super great. It's just like culturally sanctioned to go on for longer than spooky season does.
Yeah.
And there's so much themed content out there and more every year. So there's just a lot.
So just as a preview of the things that we're thinking of doing, we're gonna do that Lindsay Lohan Christmas movie.
Hell yeah.
Because we want to support our queen's return.
Yes. Did you see that both she and Jamie Lee Curtis were like, yeah, we would do a Freaky Friday too?
Oh my gosh. Did they talk about like a potential plot for it? Because
I don't think so.
Okay.
I just saw that they like, I'm just seeing headlines that are on like Instagram or whatever, but they were both talking about it. I'm like, hell yeah.
There's so many places you could go for that. You could do like, it's Lindsay's wedding now because so many years have passed and they accidentally switch places again because they're again in this plot of not getting along.
Yeah.
Not understanding each other. Or she could be going on world tour. Like her band made it big and there's some disagreement and the magic strikes again.
Hijinks ensue. Yeah.
You could do it in... internationally, like they've got to make this international tour work in different bodies until they can figure it out. Maybe they finally let Jamie Lee Curtis's husband in on it. Like you almost married your stepdaughter.
Do you think Chad Michael Murray will be making a reappearance in this version?
I hope not.
Ben always calls him Chad McChadinson. He's like so generic. Like anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're better than Chad Michael Murray. And then we wanted to do that one Jewish deli.
Yeah, I can't.
Hanukkah romance that Lisa Loeb is in. But I don't think that she's the Yael Rob Glasses.
Yeah, who you would know from Jane the Virgin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited for this because the past few years that we've been doing this, I have really been looking for good Hanukkah content and it's really not super there.
Yeah. If it's there, it's not as like widely promoted.
Yeah. So yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah. So, and next week we're going to be talking to a friend about visual novels and dating sims and choose your own adventure games and books. So if you're familiar with the game Arcade Spirits, or if you're not, you can go check it out because we're going to be talking all about it next week.
Cool.
So until next time, air kisses.